Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter. It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're visiting here today, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out, place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the inside back cover of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and after Holy Week activities, it's relatively not a lot of activities going on here at the church. There will be Bible study on Tuesday morning from 11:30 to 1. You'll also note Diaconate is meeting for its regular monthly meeting next Sunday after the service. There is a sign-up sheet in Judson Chapel for greeters and coffee hour hosts, and the last time I checked, there was no one signed up for next Sunday. So if you would like to be a greeter or a coffee hour host next week, please do so. If that's already filled and you'd like to do it in May, feel free to flip the page up and put your name down during the month of May. Also, do want to point out there is no Sunday school today, so that teachers and students may worship with families today. In the worship service. Also, a message from the Boy Scouts for the beautiful flowers here, that there were no red tulips available, so the purple tulips were substituted for the red tulips today. And also, the pink insert in the bulletin lists all those who are being remembered today or being honored today with the plants up front. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." We are here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our opening hymn is "Christ the Lord is Risen Today," number 260 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. Awesome God, your steadfast love endures forever. As we celebrate the promise of Easter, remind us that our lives can be totally transformed, just as the disciples were on that first Easter. Help us to savor in the mighty power of this resurrection day. We ask this in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You may be seated. that is news that never gets old. Holy God, it is good to be able to worship you in this place on this day. For some, it is our regular day to come every week. For others, we make a special effort on Easter Sunday. And for others, we may be visiting this church or visiting this family and have come to church to worship you on this celebration day. We thank you for hearing our private silent prayers, and we pray now that you would hear our corporate prayers as well. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ this day. It is a day of joy, of singing and dancing, of feasting and proclaiming that Christ is alive, that we are set free from the power of sin and death. We rejoice that because Christ was raised to new life, we also experience new and resurrected life. That which has held us back need no longer define or limit us. Those fears and anxieties that have kept us captive need no longer hold us in their grip. That which differentiates us from one another need not continue to separate us. Your resurrection power frees us to choose love over fear, reconciliation over division, forgiveness over hatred, and peace over violence. By your Spirit, embolden us to live courageously and faithfully to the truth of the empty tomb. We ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord and Savior. Amen. This being the first Sunday of the month, it's an added celebration that not only is it Easter, but we'll also be observing the Lord's Supper as part of our worship today. And each time we observe the Lord's Supper on a Sunday morning, we receive two different offerings. And this first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
Joy in the morning of the day.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that we may share the joy of this morning beyond today, but tomorrow morning and every morning to come, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is no longer in the tomb, but is alive. Lord, we pray that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we participate in this ministry. And we ask this all in his name. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, that's found on page 83 in the back section of the Bible. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read the familiar story of Easter morning from Luke's Gospel, we get caught up in the amazement that those who visited the tomb saw and believed, but those who heard about it did not believe. They believed it was an idle tale. Lord, we pray that as we have come to worship you this day, that we may get caught up in that amazement of the empty tomb. And Lord, if there are some here that still consider it an idle tale, we pray that you may speak to them, that we may also be empowered to speak to those outside this church as well who consider the story of the resurrection an idle tale. Not that we can convince them or convict them, but that we can share the joy that we have this day because our Lord and Savior is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. I begin this morning's message with the words from an Appalachian Christmas carol. I wonder as I wander out under the sky how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor, ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. If we were to read the life of Jesus as a biography or even as a novel, with the explanation that he lived and died to buy our pardon, meaning he paid the price for our sins so we may have eternal life, then we might scoff at that premise as being far-fetched. We might even call his ministry a mission impossible. But for those of faith, Easter proclaims that Jesus' ministry is possible. Movie buffs may be awaiting the latest installment of the action movie series Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise starring as Ethan Hunt that's scheduled to be released later this year. And if you are of a certain age, you may recall the television program with the same title starring Peter Graves as Jim Phelps. Each episode started the same way. The leader of this team of exceptional spies would receive a top-secret, self-destructing message about their next mission. The message went something like this. Good morning, Mr. Phelps. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to... And the details would be filled out at that point. And the message would continue, as always... Should you or any of the IM force be caught or killed, the secretary will disavow any knowledge of your actions. This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Good luck. And then we would watch as the recording sizzled, smoked, and disappeared in a burst of flame. It had to self-destruct, because otherwise someone else could stumble upon the secret recording and compromise that mission. But when we think about it, we live in a day with all sorts of self-destructing messages. They're not hidden in phone booths or briefcases, nor are they given to super-secret government spies. These messages are sent, received, and destroyed on hundreds of millions of smartphones and tablets around the world every day, most often by teenagers. They may not be super spies, but the reason for embracing this technology is the same as the character on Mission Impossible. It leaves no trace. Just as a spy does not want his mission compromised, a teenager does not want her secret life of gossip, crushes, taunts, flirts, or worse, discovered by others. That's what makes self-destructing apps so attractive. They ensure that, if the user so chooses, every call, every message, every picture is temporary. Within seconds, it's gone, disappeared, for good, as if it never happened or never existed. I did a little research on this because I'm not up on this. The most popular app by far is Snapchat. It allows you to take photos and videos or send text and drawings to a friend with a timer attached. When the message has been viewed and the timer runs out, the message deletes as if it never existed. I understand there's also something called Yik Yak, which allows you to send anonymous messages that are only visible to users within a small mile-and-a-half radius from where you are. And then there's Secret App, which, as its name suggests, lets you send nameless messages with no trace back to your device. And the last app I'm going to mention this morning that's gaining popularity is called Woot, which enables you to send anonymous messages to Facebook friends that instantly interrupt them by waking up their phone or tablet. Today, with these types of apps, the temporary, the anonymous, and the self-destructing message is more possible than ever. And on Easter morning, we see God doing something for the world, something that will last, something that will resonate, not just for a countdown timer moment, not anonymously, but will last forever. There are no Snapchats, yik-yaks, or self-destructing messages with God. When God speaks, it's unmistakable and unerasable. Prior to Jesus' resurrection, when Jesus broke down the dividing line between life and death, a person could have questioned the extent of God's unrelenting love. Even those who had the Torah, the first five books of our Old Testament, and had the law of Moses to follow, they only received a glimpse of God's glory, God's power, and God's goodness. Whether a person was an Israelite or a Gentile, a non-Jew, the person lived in a world where death had not been defeated. In a world where all of the promises and powerful demonstrations of God felt finite and felt erasable when compared with the eternal permanency of death. God had said that death would be deleted, defeated, erased, and undone. But that message seemed to self-destruct when people were actually confronted with it, knowing that no one in the history of the world had overcome it, meaning death. And then Jesus happened. Jesus lived a life that mere mortals could not live, and he died the crushing, punishing death that humanity deserved. But all of that means nothing if Easter does not take place. If Good Friday is the end of the message, where is our hope? Where is our future? Jesus rose from the grave, and in doing so, showed his power over death. The one thing that has made all of humanity, Jew or Gentile, Christian or not, feel utterly powerless. Jesus had the power to overcome. As we sang earlier, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. Jesus died and came back to life. Resurrection is not some kind of Snapchat app. It's not a secret that is shared anonymously, nor is it a yik-yak with a limited range or a what that only goes to friends. The message of Easter, the message of the resurrection, cannot be deleted because it endures. It resonates. The truth of the resurrection is everlasting. It's a demonstration of God's love that will only be outdone when the resurrected Jesus returns to resurrect all of us, which he has promised to do. On this Easter, we join with millions of other people around the world to celebrate the resurrection, something that's been taking place for almost 2,000 years. But there may be some here today who, for whatever reason, cannot or refuse to believe in the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what cannot be denied is that a very, very long time ago, something so seismic, so incredible, and so amazing took place that people are still talking about it today. Something so huge happened that the majority of the world now measure time against it. Jesus did something. Jesus was someone so consequential that his life became the pivot point of human history. We struggle sometimes to remember who played in the World Series or the Super Bowl just weeks after they take place. And yet the world is still running from the empty tomb of Jesus Christ, breathless, excited, and full of wonder. Something happened there. Luke's gospel that we read from this morning describes Peter's response like this. He rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Thousands of years later, the world is still marveling at the events of Easter morning. The impact of this message in this moment refused to fade away. Apps like the ones I've mentioned are designed to help us avoid implications. Easter morning provides unavoidable, unforgettable, and perpetually enjoyable implications. Perhaps the greatest gift it offers, and something that we need and receive, is Christ's peace. Following the resurrection, the Bible tells us the disciples locked themselves in the upper room, afraid of the fallout of the resurrection. But the resurrected Jesus stepped into their angst-ridden hideout, repeating one phrase over and over again, "Peace be with you." He didn't do this just to help his disciples avoid freaking out as they gazed at their once dead rabbi now standing before them fully alive. No, he was proclaiming the implication of his resurrection, peace to troubled hearts. The biggest and meanest monster in the world is the grave. But the grave has been beaten. And the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, the Apostle Paul was saying, we can have peace because of Christ's resurrection. If Jesus is more powerful than death, is he more powerful than a loss of a job, the sickness a friend is experiencing, or the evils of international terrorism? I would say yes, and we should find peace in that fact. If Jesus had conquered death as promised, then he can be trusted with everything else that he has promised. He promised to be the sacrifice for our sins, making us right with God. We need to trust him and have peace. If Jesus promised to hear our prayers when we cry out in weakness and to fill us with his Holy Spirit to make us strong, then we need to obey him and have peace. If Jesus promised that he will return from the right hand of God, resurrect us all, and right every wrong that still exists in the world until we, his forgiving people, reside with him in a new creation, we need to believe him and have peace. Jesus has promised never to leave us or forsake us, but to be with us in our cancer, in our divorce, in our depression, in our loneliness, in our breakups, in our breakdowns. He promised to be with us in our bad hair days. We need to believe, trust, and obey him. For Christ is risen, and we can have peace. These days, we can send a message that's temporary, ambiguous, and totally untraceable. Thankfully, God wants nothing to do with that. God's love does not self-destruct. When God speaks, when God works, God does so in public, powerful, and world-changing ways. Thanks be to God for the powerful, everlasting love that is offered to each of us through the empty tomb. And I close this morning with the paraphrased words of Gloria and Bill Gaither, "Because Christ lives, we can face tomorrow. Because Christ lives, all fear is gone. Because we know Christ holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because Christ lives." This is the enduring, power-giving, and peace-filled message of Easter. Let's pray together. Lord, at times we do feel lonely and weak, not knowing where to turn. In those moments, Lord, remind us of the empty tomb. Remind us that we can face tomorrows because Jesus Christ is alive, because he lives. In our struggles, Lord, be with us. In our times of joy, celebrate with us. Help us to take the enduring message of Easter outside these walls, to our other family members, to those with whom we work, in our neighborhoods, in other places where we go, that we may share the power and love and peace of God with all who we encounter. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion this morning is The Day of Resurrection. We'll be singing verse 1, and it's found on page 5 in the bulletin. You may be seated.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we receive two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet our special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts for this communion offering. Please join me in reading our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress, and that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the church. It will maintain the daily family personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and his people. We will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm justice in the unity of all people and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute our property according as God has prospered us for the maintenance of the faithful in an evangelical mission among us, for those who are distressed, and for the spreading of the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God who has given us life and who has called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers in the name of his Son.
Jesus is the host of our table and invites each one to come. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation, for Jesus asks each time we approach the table, asks the same question as far as, do you love me? Do you believe that I went to the cross and died for you, was buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, and preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we are able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, then Jesus invites us, come, eat and drink with me. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to the table knowing that we have not earned a seat here, but it's only through your grace and your mercy. In these moments, Lord, we confess to you in silence those sins that we are aware of that we have committed and pray for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. And we do ask now that you would forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us, purify us, and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he and his disciples were celebrating the Passover together, Seder meal in the upper room. And Jesus knew what was going to be happening in the coming hours, and he wanted to give new meaning and a lasting way for his disciples to remember that what he was about to do for them. And Jesus took the bread from the table, gave thanks to God for the bread, and said to his disciples, "This bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread." The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken, that we may be whole. Let us eat in remembrance of him. As the meal in the upper room continued, Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks, he passed the cup to his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, saying, "This cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross, that we might have life abundantly, have life joyfully. Let us eat, let us drink in remembrance and thanksgiving of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you allowed your body to be broken and your blood to be shed for us. And we thank you that you gave us this meal, that we may remember the sacrifice that you offered for us, that it's ongoing, it never ends. You asked your followers to remember you each time that they would eat of this meal. And we do remember you, and we thank you, and we celebrate with you today that you are no longer in the tomb, but you are risen. We pray this in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn that night before going out. Our closing hymn is "Thine is the Glory," number 264, and the blue hymnal will be singing verses 1 only. Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Therefore, go in the power of this risen Christ to work, live, love, and serve. For the resurrection has changed everything. You have nothing to fear. You are never alone. Sin and death will not have the final word. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us, who gave his life for us, and who now sits at God's right hand, interceding on our behalf. Go in peace, for Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.